Morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Has the smoke gotten to Steamboat yet?
It's on its way.
Yeah, it's settling in quite nicely out here.
Yeah, there wasn't so much over the weekend, but this morning it started rolling back in.
Oh yeah, the weekend was nice. It was really nice to get that. What do we have, like a 3 or 4 day break from the heavy smoke? Here we go again. I hope the fires don't spread much more. My daughter is gonna be in the flat tops for the next 10 days with part of her citizen science project for the pica counting. I'm supposed to hike over there and hook up with them, but I would not subject myself to a long hike in this kind of smoky environment.
Yeah, it's been pretty awful.
Doug was planning on joining us, I assume.
I didn't hear otherwise.
It's supposed to be a little rain.
Did your wife just say we're supposed to get rain? Because I think she's wrong. I don't think it's going to rain.
It's supposed to
rain. We don't think you're right. We think.
Sorry, Donna. I think that there is no rain expected.
Yeah, she says she's claiming 20%. So we'll see.
I saw 2% this morning.
Well, she's talking about Thursday.
Ah, I don't know about Thursday.
Well, there's hope because are we mowing today? Yeah, there's hope. We're putting hay on the ground today or tomorrow for sure. So
maybe Doug could do the same and we could really.
It's too late. He's already done.
Oh, too bad.
Putting equipment away in the sheds.
Yeah.
We were hoping you could help us out with the rain, Doug.
Yeah, I wish I could, man. I'm trying hard.
I've got it. Hay's going on the ground today or tomorrow. Should get her some water shortly.
Get her done.
All right. Well, Mark, I think we're ready to hear your update.
Good morning. Can I ask two questions first?
You certainly may, Kendra.
So on the agenda, I never got any items in regards to the fire ban. So there's no attachments for that or anything. So it's up to you guys what you want to do with that. I don't know if Mo will have more.
Well, I think we'll have some more information tomorrow. It kind of sounded like last week and Friday, he didn't really feel that good to be putting it on yet. So didn't have all the indices met. So we might, if he does or doesn't, we can do it Tuesday or something, or we can.
Yeah, that was my impression all along, that he was having a meeting today with the sheriff and with some of the other partners to discuss the indices. And that Tuesday, what all along was going to be the most likely day to consider a stage 2 fire ban.
But Cheryl told Deanna that this morning was fine. So I think we should just wait until the item. And I don't think we're going to, to your point, Kendra, I don't think we're going to table it just because we didn't have the information in time. If they're prepared to go forward today, I think we're going to hear it. Don't you guys think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then the second
thing. We might be prepared to move forward without them.
And then the second thing was just the planning item. There was an issue with the attachment. So I've tried several different things to try to get it to load, and there's something wrong with what Alan had sent over. So I emailed his attachment to you guys so that you can review it there. And then I'll just let him know he's got to work with IT to figure out what was wrong with it, but then we can get it loaded into the agenda later once we figure out why it's not linking.
Sounds good.
Yep, that works for me. I'm just now. There it is. Hold Hold on. Yep, that looks good. Thank you, Kendra. Okay, Mark, let's proceed with your update.
Good morning, commissioners. I apologize. I had to send my report to you off my personal email. I hope you all received it okay, but for some reason I was having some connection problems yesterday. That seems to have gotten rectified this morning by IT, so just wanted to make sure you got it. Have something preparatory before my remarks this morning. The focus last week for us in our department heads meeting on Thursday was a budget update. And again, this was just a very important check-in for both Dan and I with everybody as far as their duties and responsibilities going forward to submit their budgets for FY21. And again, trying to give them a better idea of just exactly what some of our fiscal expectations are going to be going forward. As I mentioned in my note, and we've talked about, we're seeing better signals economically for the county right now in terms of sales tax, assessed valuations, even building reports, especially what's going on in the residential market. And most of the other miscellaneous revenues, whether it's highway user tax funds, are tracking according to what would be our expectations for this current year. The unknown commodity, however, and we talked about this at length, is we just simply don't know what's going to happen in the ski season. And we know how absolutely integral this is to what occurs economically within the entire Yampa Valley. So we are being a little more conservative in our projections, where we're stating that we want to be 10% reduced from what was the FY20 budget. And what that represents, commissioners, is that's essentially the 10% reduction that's slightly about in the same framework of our current amended budget for FY20. In other words, we took the 20 budget, we amended it back in late spring. And so that's basically what it represents going forward in FY21. Now, having said that, we are going to watch all the trend lines, and we'll watch them very carefully. And if we feel as if things are looking a little more optimistic on the revenue side, then we feel like we might be in a position to tell everybody, hey, we're only going to be a 5% reduction from FY20. So if you've got some things that you want to put within your budget for FY21, but you're not sure, put them in reserve and have them on somewhat of a holding list and be prepared to push those forward. Our health statistics are looking good right now in terms of, we don't feel like we're going to have any significant spikes there on our self-insurance health pool. So most of the trend lines are looking pretty solid at this point. As I also mentioned in my note, when we make the presentations, when the department heads make the presentations, we know that is sometimes a very elongated procedure. So we're asking everybody to make sure that they hit the most important points within their budget. What are the significant changes from the current fiscal year? Any new important programs or initiatives that change either up or down? Essentially hit the highlights and make sure that we do that in a very concise and a very factual fashion. So that'll be the plan as we roll this out going forward. Let me stop there and see if there's any questions or any feedback from the commissioners on FY21 budget projections.
So I have a question. And I think I know the answer to it, but just to be clear, reductions that are being considered by the individual departments are independent of any decision that we might make regarding step increases and COLA increases.
That's correct, Tim. We have not made any establishment at this point in terms of where we land in terms of personnel adjustments for FY21. I know we need to be cautious, we need to be careful, and I've historically, you've also had a circumstance where the county has allowed for a step increase in a given year, but not allowed for a market or a CIP adjustment. So we will again track closely where we stand in terms of revenues, and then be prepared to provide a recommendation to you, the commissioners, going forward in terms of where those budgets land. Let me also make another notation. When we say 10%, that actually turns out to be an average for all the departments, because, you know, we can't just go in with kind of a hammer and say that everybody's got to be absolutely at 10% or better, because we realize that it's just not possible for some departments that don't have as much capital, don't have as many operational elements, and are really personnel driven. So what we wind up is maybe there's a little bit more that a department has to take on that does have the capacity, and then we average out within that 10%. Now, having said that, also, I'm going to call out an exception to you, which I think you can understand, and that's the airport. The Yampa Valley Regional Airport has been fortunate enough to get some very generous funding, some CARES funding, and so we want to make sure they get a chance to spend that. So given that $17 million plus that they're going to see over the next 4 years, we want to make sure that those expenditures are going to be on the books as we look at FY21 going forward.
The other question I have is, you've talked about using the 2020 budget as a baseline as it was amended with those 10% cuts, but then we also know now that we have allowed for some relaxation of those cuts in certain individual circumstances.
We have, Tim, and in fact, one of the instructions that I provided to the department heads is, I think this gets to your question, but please let me know if it does not. Anything that we deferred in FY20 because of the budget restrictions we had, we want to make sure that gets queued up for 21. So specific to capital projects, especially within Road and Bridge, we wanted to say that anything that we didn't get to do in FY20 because, again, of the budget restrictions we had, make sure that gets first on your list going forward. And also getting Doug to your point in your feedback, we'll make sure that we give you a full and complete update on where we stand relative to all the pool accounts and just exactly where those stands relative to, you know, how we're tracking on those particular reserve pool accounts. Tim, let me ask again, did I respond to your question correctly?
Not exactly. I'm thinking more in terms of some of the hirings that we allowed to go forward in 2020 that had not been originally contemplated in the amended 2020 budget.
For instance, what we've done on the public health side, perhaps.
Yeah, that, and it seems like we filled one or two other positions along the way that we knew we were probably gonna end up having to do supplementals for. Honestly, I'm a little vague on that, but I feel like we've allowed a couple, three positions to be filled that were not included in the 2020 amended budget.
I don't know about that, Tim. I'm not sure that we've done that. So we had some that were pulled out of the budget, maybe, but you know, they were in the original budget. And they
yeah, Tim, I think that Mark is saying he's asking department heads to use the original 2020 budget as the baseline and then to cut 10% from that.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Thanks, Beth, for that
clarification. That clarifies that for me. Thank you.
Right, that's exactly what we're doing. So, but to your point, Tim, we're still saying to the department heads to hold the line on hiring, because again, we need to stay within those budget parameters. So we would still be in the same mode that if department heads had needs, personnel needs, they would still come forward. Right now, we still have the hiring freeze. They still go through a review process. If those we feel fall into those categories that are life, health, safety, or important for county operations, we still bring those forward to you for a complete authorization. And in fact, we'll have a few of those. So far this year, you may recall, we've had some public safety positions. We've had some positions from Yampa Valley Regional Airport. And then we've also had positions within human services. Those are the three categories that we've brought forward to you so far this year.
Thank you.
So I guess the other thing too, Mark, so just so we're on the same page, you mentioned the Yampa Valley Regional Airport. Well, also the building department too is the enterprise fund too. So, you know, we kind of want to treat them the same way, but they have their own revenues, their own monies. So
you bet.
So they'll be affected too, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And they are those business enterprise funds that float on their own bottom, Doug. You're exactly right. So we want to make sure that there's no restrictions for Todd and his department, especially if we think, and we do believe this might be the case, as Todd has told us, residential has really been robust, especially for the last couple of months, and we expect that to continue into the fall. What has still stayed on the sideline, however, is commercial activity. But we want to be in a position where if that all of a sudden, and we know the old adage is that commercial follows residential, if we see that starts to percolate, then we want to be prepared that we can go ahead and make sure that we facilitate any of those applications, all those inspections, and all the processes involved with that, because we want to make sure that economic engine is we're fully prepared to make sure that goes forward in good shape. So commissioners, we will provide to you again an outline of those presentations as they come forward, and we will remain flexible and nimble in terms of anything we need to do as far as any adjustments that we make as we move along. And I guess my only last comment on the budget realm is we continue to get new numbers all the time, and we want to be sure that we're watching those very closely so that we can adjust our budget accordingly and make sure that we're being very, very tuned into what's going on as far as our fiscal health and the fiscal health of what's going on in the county. The other thing, commissioners, I wanted to comment on was public health. I know that that's been very much at the top of our radar screen in the last few weeks with the grateful assistance of Roberta and all the good work that she's doing. Beth was kind enough to take part in another interview on Friday with an epidemiologist candidate. We are now prepared on the basis of three different interviews to offer the position to somebody we think is extremely qualified, and hopefully they'll accept. That call is going out today, and hopefully we can get acceptance. And what would allow us to do is to have one full-time epidemiologist and one half-time epidemiologist. And the half-time epidemiologist has accepted the position at a half-time rate. We're hopeful she can start today. She's the individual, her name is Fritha. She's the individual that has absolutely phenomenal data management skills. And we're really excited to have her on board. I know she's gonna be a big boost to the department. And it's especially gratifying to know that we can maybe get her going today. So those are two very important developments within public health. We are still having a struggle in terms of trying to hire that public health nurse. We've got a candidate that is currently a contact tracer. That person is camping right now. When they return, we want to reach out to them and see if there's a possibility they would consider, even in a part-time capacity, taking on the public health nurse duties. We have contacted Worldwide Nursing to make sure that we backfill one of our contract nurses, Jane, that we lost just this past week. Her contract was fulfilled. So we're making sure that we have a full bench for contract nursing. And then lastly, on public health staffing, on Wednesday of this week, we're expecting that Roberta is going to come forward and we'll talk a little bit more about the proposed health educator position and also provide you that outline that you talked about that is both short-term and long-term staffing for public health. I know that that's very important that you get an idea what that looks like and also the revenues that would support that going forward. So let me hold up there and see if there's any questions.
I would just comment, I believe that Fritha is being hired as a temporary employee, correct?
That is correct, Beth. She's being hired not as a contract, and I apologize if I said contract, but as a temp employee at approximately between 20 and 25 hours and without benefits. She's going to be at a step five coming into that pool. Public health staffing space. Good news, we're moving forward. We've already got some people that are packed up and we're already starting to make some switches, but we are still tracking really well to hopefully see that come to full completion by the week of August 24th. It might track a little bit more towards the end of the week, especially with some of the physical improvements that we're making, but we're still targeting that we'll be in that suite of offices by the week of August 24th. CARES Act meeting, Tim, we do have a meeting on Wednesday with our CARES Act partners. That is queued up for Wednesday afternoon at 3:00. We'll have the Zoom meeting set up. And Greg Winkler, I contacted Greg last week, and he's going to be kind enough to join us again. Health and Human Services Building. Commissioners, we just want to make sure that we had a really good, very full, robust conversation with Mountain Architecture and the design team last week. We want to make sure that we were tracking well with all the recommendations that came forward. So this is just simply my reference to the fact that myself and Ray and Steve will sit down with them to make sure that they're clear on in terms of the very important conversation that we had and the direction that the commissioners had for them, and make sure that we're following appropriately on all those particular elements. And of course, there's several of them, whether it's maximizing the space, using that one area that you talked about, Tim, the deck on the second floor that Doug talked about, public health perhaps on the first floor. What do we do with the spaces? How do we lay those out? The huddle spaces, as they're called. We just want to make sure we had a little bit more detail on that before they come back and meet with you. And then lastly, with our your upcoming schedule for county manager finalists, making arrangements to go ahead and have facilitators for that. Kevin Booth has already agreed in a conversation I had with him on Friday to be the facilitator for the department head conversation. And then I did have a conversation with Gary Suter. Gary's going to be on vacation the week of August 24th, but he's checking again to see, depending on the date and time, whether he might be able to still bounce out and be participating in that interview. And if not, I'm certainly prepared to go ahead and contact somebody else for those duties, Commissioner. That's all I have, commissioners. In case you have questions, I'm here to answer them.
I have a question. Probably this question is more for Doug and Tim, but when do we need to start talking about and figuring out how we pay for the Health and Human Services Building? Do we wait, or should that be simultaneous with this design conversation? Because I know when we started, we were thinking it might be delayed quite a bit, but at this point, I think because of the public health needs, especially, I don't know that we can wait. What are you guys thinking about that? And how does that usually work?
Well, we need to have a conversation pretty shortly. So yeah, I kind of had some ideas in the back of my mind, even if it's a COP for it, right, and, you know, to move forward with it again. And then knowing that our current COP expires in 2025 with the I just think time is of the thing right now. We need to figure out how we can do that. So I'm willing to have that conversation too. I hope we're gonna have the, because otherwise we're just wasting hell of a lot of everybody's time if we're not going to be moving forward with something. So that's kind of, I don't like doing that either, that kind of fallacious and fallacy kind of, I just like to be real about it. And I think we probably had to have that conversation. The other part of that thing too, Beth, that you brought up too, is so when, you know, we kind of really need to have that conversation about that 3,000 square foot, you know, the childcare too. And because, you know, you bring up some great points and figure out, Tim brought up some good points regarding it too, is the fact that, well, you know, are we going to build the shell? Are we going to build it now, or should we just kick it out of the whole process, or do we build the whole thing and build it as two stories at 3,000? So, you know, we do have some huge policy decisions that we kind of need to make and figure out how they get funded or not funded, or and what, you know, planning option A, planning option B, C, D, and, you know, and all the ramifications of those. So yeah, you're exactly right. We need to have that conversation. We kind of just been waltzing down the path here thinking that we were going to, you know, we'll figure it out later. Well, later is pretty well here. I agree.
Well, and I would think there needs to be some understanding of what, if anything, is going to be in the 2021 budget with regards to this building. So right. It does seem like sooner than later. And I just haven't done one of these projects before, so I don't know what that looks like. I mean, who works on that? Dan already kind of came and gave us his like laundry list of ways we might be able to pay for it. But at some point you have to turn that into actual options, you know, not just a list.
So a couple of things. Number one, in our next conversation with Mountain Architecture, we probably need to be a little bit more specific with them about what they truly believe these costs are going to be. Number two, it might be appropriate for us to reach out to someone like Todd, I can't remember his last name right now, who was our construction manager on the combined law enforcement facility and is the construction manager on the Hayden school project, given his depth of knowledge of construction, current construction pricing and trends and availability of contractors and subcontractors, so that we have a better idea rather than just this ballpark cost per square foot that we've been throwing out there. And number three, Beth, you're absolutely correct. It's the same thing that happened to us on the combined law enforcement facility, is that in a given year, we had to commit X number of dollars for the production of construction documents, including all the design and engineering fees, which is a significant percentage of the project. And once you've committed to spend that money, practically speaking, you're committing to build the project, because super round numbers, that could be, in this case, $500,000 that we would be committing. And we certainly would not want to commit a number of that magnitude, not knowing for sure that we were actually going to follow through the construction of the building in the following year. So, yeah, that's a good point that you've raised. Generally speaking, I think that the concept of a COP in our back pocket is a good concept, especially as Doug pointed out that we're close to paying off the Justice Center. And the COP would not be nearly as large a number as what was used on the Justice Center, because my instinct is that we really do have squirreled away at least half of the money that we need. And Doug makes a great point. We need those options laid out, A, B, and C, some kind of an estimated dollar number associated with each one of those so that we can determine moving forward. But you're right, time is short. We got probably sometime in October, we have to decide whether or not to commit the funding for the design and engineering.
So that sounds like some direction to Mark to work with Dan Sternat on putting together those options. I don't think we need another kind of, you know, brain dump from Dan. I think we need an actual like set of options that we could select from.
Well, actually, the first set of options would be coming from Mountain Architecture with potentially some support from some outside experts to determine the costs of options A, B, and C.
Right. Well,
and
I think,
And then funding options A, B, and C alongside
yes.
that.
Yeah, I was thinking of the funding options, but you're right. Yes, we also need options in terms of the actual cost, or at least an estimate as best we can get it.
So even then, are we going to have a separate, and again, I'm just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Are we going to have a separate set of options with the 3,000 square foot building?
It's a good question, Doug, because I was confused. What's his face from Mountain Architecture? What's his name? Ed?
Ed Becker.
Yeah, was seemed pretty clear on the fact that this was a phase two, but I thought when we talked about it, we were pretty clear that if we were going to do it, we were going to do it all at the same time.
I think what Ed was telling us is that that it would be certainly possible to hold that aside as a future construction, as long as that site was available, and given the proximity to existing utilities and piping, that the economies of scale of constructing that as at the same time as the rest of the project were not huge. There's obviously going to be some economy of scale, but the idea of putting that off for a couple of years until we had other funding is not unreasonable.
Although that's not really what I heard him say. I kind of heard him say, you guys aren't going to do this right now. Never mind.
I kind of heard him say, though, that wasn't part of his contract.
Yeah, that's, I think, kind of where.
I think we need, if we're going to be fair with them, we kind of need to answer that question. If it is moving forward with that 3,000 footprint and two floors, one floor or whatever, if it is in our intention to do that, as Beth, as you said, separate conversation.
Right.
But if it is in our purview to do that, we need to probably, that was what I thought he was saying. It wasn't part of his contract, and we would need to take care of them as well on the process.
So I'm kind of thinking that in terms of figuring that out, this, and I'd be curious if you guys think this makes sense or not, but I'm picturing that we form kind of a subcommittee of the people that would have the expertise to evaluate that possibility in terms of childcare. And I know part of that should be, as we've talked with Mark about, DOLA, because that kind of a project is very desirable to them, at least in this current environment, and that may not continue to be the case. So I think that should be part of the conversation too, about doing it now or waiting, because that opportunity may not always be there. And if we think it's a good idea, it may make sense to do it right away. But I guess I'm picturing that maybe we include probably Kelly, and then I wish Tammy were still here because she could help us on figuring out the childcare side of things. But maybe Sharon Butler, she might be able to help with the kind of the logistical side of a childcare facility and just understanding what that looks like and those kinds of things.
You make a great point, Beth, especially making sure we involve DOLA in the early stages. It seems to me, Beth, that you've taken a lot onto your plate here over the last several months. And given my experience with the Cleft building and doing the DOLA presentation along with Kathy Meyer and that group to get the DOLA grant and my relationship with Greg Winkler, I'd be happy to be a part of that group.
Mark. Yeah, and I think that's fine. I can resend you. You know, I did a bunch of work on the childcare side. Remember, I put together that document for you guys, kind of laying it out. And some of that was done in conversation with Tammy Havner about what would be needed, how many square feet and how all those kinds of, how many kids and that kind of stuff. So we at least have some benefit of her experience, but I could resend that to you. That's fine with me. I don't need to be there. I think Kelly definitely has a lot of that first impressions perspective too. I definitely will continue to advocate for it until the point that we decide it's just not feasible, right? I mean, or reasonable for some reason.
I think the one thing is for sure, Beth, is that that's great. We should definitely pursue that analysis. But if we're really going to move forward on the timeline that we've been contemplating up until now, it will require a leap of faith at some point. It's not like we're going to have secured a potential operator and figured out all of the revenue streams and the expenses and the maintenance costs to understand whether or not we really have a viable childcare operation in there by October or November.
No, I agree. I think a couple things. One, we have some idea about operating costs, and I laid that out in that document that I created because we can pull the information from other operators in town, and we have all that. And then I think no matter what we do, even if in the end we say, yes, we are 100% going forward with a childcare facility, we would build it in such a way that it could be something else if needed. I mean, that we could sort of pull the plug on it, or at some time in the future, us or a future board could change the use of that building. I mean, we have to build it that way. We can't commit it to being a childcare facility for all of eternity, realistically, I don't think.
Well, you'd have to for the duration of the DOLA commitment.
Yeah, yeah. But that leaves the... I think there are a few things that, anyway, I think forming kind of a subcommittee to work on that makes sense, and I'm happy for you to do that, and I can help where it's helpful, you know, where my understanding is helpful to you.
That, well, which is a lot, for sure.
I think we need to involve the city in it, too. I think the city needs to be a partner, a strong partner as well, and in fact, a financial partner. You know, the concept of that, you know, again, I'm not sure exactly why it's Route County's responsibility to pick up doing that. We were talked earlier that it was going to be a self-funded thing, you know, that
yeah.
You know, we're going to build the structure and then build it and they will come and then they will, you know, pay for the operation of it. So.
Well, I would say on that front, I know that Gary Suter has already been involved in some conversations about the possibility of this. It never, and Jason, I think, was also involved in that. And then Liesl, I believe. And it never was brought forward to their full council because we kind of got in the midst of COVID. But those three folks already are aware of the conversation and have been involved in it. So...
Well, Doug's absolutely right. We absolutely want the city as a partner, not only for financial support, but I think we saw how happy DOLA was to fund a project that included the collaboration between the city and the county. And I think, I hear what Doug is saying, is that, you know, at what point is it really our responsibility? And I think it's our responsibility only to the extent that here's a potential opportunity on our piece of property that could work for the benefit of the entire community. And if we can find a way to facilitate that without footing the entire bill for it, we should pursue it.
Yeah, and I would tend to think that we probably wouldn't proceed with it unless we had some partnership from the city. I mean, I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense without partnership from them.
And DOLA.
Yes, and DOLA, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that a bunch. And I think, again, Jason and Liesl and, you know, whoever.
And Gary,
Yeah, I think... You know, it'd be a great, it becomes our project then, and it's not, we don't want it to be Route County's project. It becomes the community's project, so.
But it would be similar in structure to the CLEF, only in this particular case, the county would be the owner and maintenance responsibility of the building. And the city would be participating in some financial manner, hopefully.
And just, you know, that footprint of the 3,000 square foot building.
Yeah. Correct.
The other one's ours. We're going to take it on ourselves. We figure out part of the discussion on the other, the childcare. So
it sounds like Mark and Tim, maybe you guys can work on putting together that kind of subcommittee. And I appreciate you recognizing how many hours I'm spending on other things, Tim, but you know, this is really important to me.
Oh, no, I do.
And quite frankly, I'd like some of the credit for it if we end up there. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm happy for you to do that. And I think your background will probably actually be more valuable than mine. And I can help out where it's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, my input's going to come more from the basis of construction requirements, funding sources in terms of you know, what that looks like and the other participants and what it means to the childcare community, we'd absolutely depend upon your expertise.
And would you like me, I'll resend you and Mark both that document I put together, because that'll be at least a starting point for the conversations.
That sounds great. Okay, Mark, did you have anything else on your update before we move on to our next item?
Nothing else, commissioners, just, you know, dealing with some other items that have been, you know, on our plate for the last week and a half or so. We are in touch with the Chamber of Commerce relative to their help and assistance in finding that accommodation for any of our transient population that we may need to quarantine. So we're in conversation with Kara and John Bristol, and we're hoping to have some success on that as the week goes on. But just to know that that's still on our plate, and we're working those kind of pieces through. But nothing else beyond that, Tim. Thanks very much.
We've got a couple of minutes here before Mo shows up. Anything else you guys feel the need to discuss?
I just had a thought over the weekend, Mark, that I wanted to kind of put out there for you. I just wanted to make sure it's on the radar that as we go into working on the budget, that we still have an interim planning director who has never developed the budget before. And I know public health has been such a focus for us, but I just wanted to make sure that Christy's getting the support she needs through the budget process, especially. I'm sure she would be a little bit hesitant to ask for too much, knowing that public health is such a focus, but just want to make sure that you're reaching out.
Beth, happy to do so, Beth. And Christy, one of the things that we did in our conversation on Thursday, as I said, we were almost 3 hours in our budget conversation on Thursday. One of the things that we had an opportunity to do is to go around the horn roundtable and have every department head talk about preliminarily what they saw in their early budget projections. And I can say that Christy did a really good job with her presentation. She was right on top of what she knew were the most important objects and objectives, excuse me. And we're happy to follow up, but preliminarily she did a great job.
Yeah, just it continues to be the case that people express that our budget process is somewhat cumbersome for them. I think Kendra was just mentioning it to me the other day that it's challenging, and it's probably especially challenging if you haven't done it before. And I'm definitely looking forward to us figuring out how we can use Munis to make that a little more streamlined for folks in the coming years.
Well, I assume that Mo and or Cheryl will be joining us shortly, or is there potentially some confusion on their part as to what we're actually doing today?
No, they are planning on joining. Mo was having a little bit of technology issues, but he is on the phone.
Oh, Mo, is that who I see there on the telephone?
Also, back to the budget real quick, Mark, then. So I think you had asked, or somebody had asked, about the in-depthness we want to have on the presentations and PowerPoint and what all. So I guess during your budget meeting, you got that all lined. I'm not really, you know, PowerPoint will be good. Hopefully we'll have time for all of them to present their PowerPoint. I hate to create work. Again, I'm one for that. I'll hate creating work just for the sake of work. And, you know, and make sure we're going to be able to get to all of them. So anyhow, so I wouldn't keep it simple for them. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Doug, for just keep it simple instead of keep it simple, stupid. I mean,
there you go. It's the three letter word.
Mo, I see you at the bottom of my screen, or I at least see your phone number. You want to let us know if we can hear you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you bet, Mo. We can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Sorry about that. For some reason, it's not taking my email on the Zoom link, so I just dialed in. The reason why we requested to speak to the commissioners in today is to make a recommendation to go into stage two fire restrictions. Normally, our process is such that we will canvass our fire chiefs on Monday afternoon along with the sheriff, and then we take that recommendation from them to the weekly fire restriction call, which occurs on Tuesdays. And then, of course, if there's a recommendation, unanimous, looking at our other counties, we then get in the agenda. But we also realize that that takes some extra time. So what we decided to do this time is last week on Friday, I spoke to all the fire chiefs as well as the sheriff. And it was unanimous amongst all the fire chiefs and the sheriff that we believe we're ready to go into stage two fire restrictions. As you know, we've been pretty fortunate in Route County, but we have four large fires around us, and you know, the largest being the Pine Gulch fire, about 81,000 acres now. And then last week, around the middle of the week, another fire started in Grand County, which is somewhere around 11,000 acres, and to include several evacuations, and of course the Grizzly Creek fire shutting down I-70. So anyway, all the fire chiefs, it's very hot and very dry out there, and the risk of a large fire here warrants going into stage two fire restrictions. I was not able to get the actual document done on time on Friday, meaning that we're still working on what the press release would say and what would go out, but the recommendation that I'm presenting to the commissioners today is that we can start stage two fire restrictions hopefully as early as Wednesday morning. I did speak to Kevin Thompson of the Forest Service this morning, and they won't have a final decision until tomorrow at the weekly fire restriction call. Stage two restrictions it's a hard decision for them at the national level, at the federal level, because there's a lot of industry and forest or timber operations that would be impacted that have to be considered. He gave me another contact I'll be calling right after this phone call, but the message I got is that it does sound like the forest is looking hard at stage two and likely to go into stage two restrictions as well. But I don't have a definitive answer on that until tomorrow. So basically we're just recommending that we go into stage two fire restrictions in Route County.
Do you have a resolution prepared for us that we can
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what I'm working on that now. We started working that Friday, but I did want Eric to look at it. For some of the language, we have not been in stage two fire restrictions in some time, and the only example we had from previous I wasn't very happy with, so we've made some modifications. We're also looking at language from other counties, and I would like to get that here by the end of the day.
So are we planning then on putting this on the agenda tomorrow for a vote? Or is there some way that we could vote to proceed with stage two restrictions pending the review by the attorney?
That's what I would like to do is we're making a recommendation, and if we can get that recommendation approved, and then we'll follow up with the actual resolution paperwork. And if that requires a separate agenda item tomorrow, then we'll have that done by tomorrow.
So you were still talking about, Mo, this is Doug, so you were still talking about effective date, maybe Wednesday morning. What was your planned projected implementation date? And then also, since I have floor, Chris Middledorf with the DOW asked to join us as well this morning and wanted to know, or just wanted to make sure that the shooting ranges were working on the same avenue as well. So.
The shooting range, when we apply for we implement recommendations, we're only making those for the unincorporated areas, and so those shooting ranges are part of Steamboat and part of Hayden, and that will have to be decided at their city or town level.
Well, the one in Hayden is not in Hayden. The one in Hayden is over by, so it's in unincorporated Rapp County.
Oh, I thought that was, I actually thought that was within the city limits. So yeah, that would be included then as well.
Yeah, it's off the Hall Road. Yeah, so but anyhow.
I'm sorry, I stepped away for a minute, but Mo, maybe for everyone's benefit, could you describe what restrictions exist in stage two that don't exist in stage one?
Sure. The big thing is that there are no campfires at all. So while stage one, it says no campfires for dispersed camping, but if you're in a approved, you know, either federal or state campground with an approved fire pit, you can have a fire restriction or a campfire in those pits. Where now we're saying that there's no campfires at all. You still, if you're going to use any kind of equipment, chainsaws, whatever, it's got to have to be approved, UL laboratory approved, spark arresting device on it. Another big change is that the smoking has, as far as smoking, it needs to be either in a building or in a vehicle, where here it said that it can be in an area that's cleared of vegetation, at least 3 feet radius around you. And then there's no welding allowed. That's where the impact is on industry if they're doing work requiring welding in those areas or operating heavy equipment that could affect such things as the timber business. So those are the big differences. You guys still there?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I stepped away for a minute. Did we determine whether or not we were going to take some kind of a vote today, or are we waiting until tomorrow?
Does Eric maybe need to just tell us what we can do? I mean, I'm guessing we would like to see these fire restrictions in place as quickly as possible, given the conditions and the recommendation of the fire chiefs. I'm only speaking for myself, but I'm assuming that the three of us would share that sentiment. Tim's giving a thumbs up. So could we just get Eric's recommendation on what the way to do that is?
I'm here. And I don't, go ahead, Mo.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in line. I was just going to read the stage two restrictions to you verbatim. So all open fires and campfires are prohibited except petroleum fuel stoves, lanterns, and heating devices that are UL approved. Smoking is restricted to enclosed vehicles and buildings. All chainsaws and other internal combustion engines, including motorcycles and ATVs, must have spark arresting devices that are properly installed and in working order. Use of explosives is prohibited. Use of welding and cutting torch devices are prohibited. And then individual agencies such as fire districts or state and federal organizations may further restrict commercial activities not included in this declaration, such as construction, logging, or oil and gas operations. So those are the actual restrictions that that would be included in the declaration.
Eric?
I'm looking at the agenda for today. It was not scheduled as an action item. That would be my concern about moving forward today. And then the other concern would just be timing. I would work quickly and closely with Mo to move it as forward as quickly as possible. Looking at tomorrow's agenda, looks like meeting is adjourned, scheduled to be adjourned 12:35. Of course, we need 24 hours posting prior to an action item, even one of this magnitude and importance. So I would suggest, I guess we would be okay to go ahead and base the action item on what is presented. You could approve the declaration pending a final attorney and OEM approval. That would be an option, I think, rather than forcing Mo and I to get something done in the next 2 hours. I think that would be reasonable.
I'm going to take a moment here to invite Chris Middledorf to make a comment. Chris?
Thank you, Commissioners. Chris Middledorf, Area Wildlife Manager, Parks and Wildlife. We have the Hayden Range, and you know, we'll have to talk with our staff and leadership about what it looks like to close, but we want to make sure that we're aligned with the county. And I didn't hear anything in that declaration about a range or how it would be managed. And we have regulations that prohibit the use of exploding targets, prohibit the use of tracer ammunition, but at the same time, we all know how dry it is outside. And I'm not necessarily looking for a recommendation from the commissioners, but I would like to hear what you'd like to see from CPW on the management of our range. I think a couple of years ago, we closed it down when we had the big fire on our state wildlife area in Basalt to align everybody in the Northwest region. So if you have concerns about us operating our range, which we lease from the state land board, I would like to hear what those concerns are so I can ensure that they're moved the appropriate direction. Thank you.
So I guess thought about that, and we can think about that, Chris. I guess the concern I'd have is that if we're not allowing it to happen on the shooting range, then probably going to go out on somebody's private property, and because we're not going to tell somebody on his private property not to be shooting, so we're shooting out on the private property, which has just as much risk to hit a rock and start up something too. So I'm just a little worried about that. That's a pretty good environment out there. We've had a fire out there at the firing range because it happens. But anyhow, yeah, I'd be a little leery about shut that down. I know some friends and relatives that would be very upset with me shutting down the shooting range.
Thank you, Commissioner Monger. That is a concern that we have too, is if we close down a public range that has the best safety features that we can build, minus water on site, that people will go to the National Forest or BLM lands on public and be shooting there. So thank you for that.
Mo, would you care to comment on Chris's request? Or?
No, I mean, I think it was well said with both Commissioner Monger and Chris. I believe that Basalt fire was actually a tracer round, which would be illegal to use, as well as the exploding devices anyway. So I agree that I think the risk by just normal rounds at the shooting range, the approved shooting range with restrictions in place, would be less than the risk assumed by encouraging really or chasing people away to other places that are not controlled.
So, you know, we have, I'm not sure what an approved shooting range actually is, but we certainly have one out here just north of Yampa near the cemetery that's used on a regular basis. Would that qualify as a safe place for people to shoot? Or would we be specific about which shooting ranges would be permitted?
Well, for a point of clarification, Commissioner Corrigan, that is actually private land. We help maintenance the property, but it is private land, if that helps with the conversation.
So I didn't hear Mo say anything about restrictions on shooting ranges under stage 2 fire restrictions. So Mo, do I understand correctly? There aren't actually any restrictions. Chris is just asking us for a recommendation for their shooting range.
So the restrictions that I read to you are what were basically used at the county the last time, which I think Cheryl told me this is from 2012. So we can put any restrictions that we want in there, as it's a county declaration. It does say that explosives are prohibited. That would include the exploding targets. But no, we do not have anything in there currently that would prohibit operating the shooting range.
Could we include a prohibition on tracer rounds on private property?
You know, that is a question I have to hand over to Eric. I think it makes sense. Of course, the question is, how would it be enforced?
Would we have the ability? I don't know how many other of those kinds of shooting ranges on private property that are accessible to the public. there are in Route County, but certainly some signage would be helpful.
Oh, and again, you know, Mo, I appreciate your thought about the enforcement and the rest, but, you know, how are we going to enforce somebody not welding on their equipment either, you know? So stupid is stupid, so.
Right.
So, you know, and again, I guess part of this situation is you know, we just, you know, need to have it out there and we try to educate. And then if they cause a fire, you know, that's where we come up with accountability and responsibility. So I'm kind of torn either way there a little bit, but anyhow.
Is there not a standard for these things? I mean, are we really just kind of, I hesitate to use the phrase making it up, but I'm not super excited about us just throwing out random things that we want to prohibit in a fire ban. Is there not a template for this?
I don't believe there is a template. In fact, even when we went into restrictions in 2018, the language used by, you know, the feds and the county were slightly different, although they were all in concurrence on the major parts. So we did the same thing. We pulled off the last one that was done in 2012. That's where this came from. But the way it reads, there's some other things I didn't like about it, so that's why we don't have it for you today, because we're making some more changes to it. But and Cheryl's been reaching out to some of the other counties to see if they have any examples that we can use, and we'll continue that effort today to see if there is any kind of standard that they're using. But I'm unaware of any specific template to use for these.
Well, to use Commissioner Monger's favorite item line is, you know, we need to define our objectives here. And I think what I'm hearing is we have the objective of entering stage 2 fire restrictions. But within that objective, we would also like to find a way to provide shooting opportunities at publicly accessible shooting ranges. But specifically without allowing the use of tracer rounds or exploding devices. Yes?
I mean, we could certainly add in the restrictions that that would just basically state that you know, all tracer rounds or exploding devices are also banned from use throughout the county.
Regardless of whether they're on private property or public property or publicly accessible property.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree. As we get better here, Mo, since it looks like this might be an extended kind of thing, I think this ought to be part of the phase one restrictions as well, and not phase two. So the tracer rounds and exploding targets should be part of phase one restrictions, but.
We can certainly add that for future reference, or at the time we would go back to stage one from stage two, we can add that.
So, Mo, would you be prepared to bring forward tomorrow a complete recommendation for a resolution that we can adopt?
Yes.
And then, Kendra, I'm thinking if you could get something on the agenda for tomorrow, it'd be a pretty brief item, sometime around 11 a.m.
Yeah, we can squeeze it in.
Okay, let's do that. Eric, does that all make sense to you?
Well, I didn't think that left enough time, but that's Mo's decision, I suppose. We're now at 10:36, and 11 o'clock would put us just under the 24-hour requirement.
Can't we go ahead and do an agenda, post an agenda communication form, and then attach the actual resolution to it a few hours later?
I think that's sufficient. If there's enough time for that. I wanted to point out something else. I'm sorry to belabor the point. I understand all of the discussion about the firing range and whatnot. We always have this concern, right? If we set forth a prohibition, how will people react to that? Whether it's okay, you can't publicly gather, at commercial spaces, well, you're forcing them then to go do it on private places. So we always have that concern. I'm not saying it's not a legitimate issue, but it's not just unique to fire restrictions.
So real quickly, I thought we had kind of revamped the fire ban process, that it did not need a resolution to do that, and that we just enacted the, and again, I want to do it here right, and we want to make sure we do whatever we need to do, but I thought we had kind of changed it over the last 5 years, that we didn't actually need the resolution. The fire resolution allowed us to activate it or not activate it without a resolution. So Mo, help me out there.
Yeah, and I'll admit I'm confused on this too, because I know when we had the fire calls on Tuesday, some counties seemed very quick to say, you know, the sheriff will say, okay, we're going into stage two starting tomorrow. And then others say, well, I can't get to it. I'll get on the agenda next week and all that. So all I can go by is from what, how we've historically done it, which is what we're trying to do now. I was trying to get on the agenda quicker. So like Commissioner Melton said, I think it's imperative that we get these stage two restrictions in as quick as we can.
So I'm going to suggest, Mo, that we proceed as I previously suggested, which is let's get an agenda communication form to Kendra as soon as possible, so that sometime around 11 a.m. we can consider the actual resolution. And then hopefully by the end of the day, you and Eric can have that resolution ironed out and attached to the agenda.
I can do that.
I can speak to Commissioner Monger's question. The original ordinance, which is ordinance number 99-1, that I believe is still in effect. Is that correct, Mo? That's my
right. Yes.
It states, and I'm sorry to be reading to you, but it helps. It might help understand the question or answer. From time to time, upon the request of the sheriff or OEM, or upon the board's own motion, the board shall conduct a public hearing upon notice as required by law to determine if a high danger of forest or grass wildfires exists, etc. At the hearing, the board shall receive evidence concerning the existence of the danger, etc. And then declaration of open fire ban. If following such hearing, the board determines that a high danger of forest or grass wildfire exists, and that the banning of open fires will reduce that danger, the board may declare on the record an open fire ban within the areas of Rout County which it finds subject to that danger. So on its face, the ordinance does not require a resolution, but as Mo pointed out, traditionally we have followed this ordinance with a declaration, a written declaration that spells out the specific prohibitions, which I think is a good idea, rather than just announcing it on the general record without further documentation of exactly what is prohibited. Commissioner Melton, that's contagious, you know.
Sorry.
Hey, Eric, what was the ordinance number again that you said?
That's 99-1.
All right, because what we have in the declaration says pursuant to ordinance number 2013-002.
Okay, well, I don't have a record of that. So I'm going to suggest we go ahead and follow Commissioner Corrigan's suggestion on how to proceed anyway, so at least we have something in writing.
Well, I think to follow up on Commissioner Melton's, we definitely want to go into some advanced fire, all three of us do, and drove my car onto a dry land hay field, and I smelt something, backed up my car, I smelt something burning, and the grass had started on fire underneath my car. So it's time, we're good, let's move on, let's go.
Doug, if you're going to do that, make sure you do it on national forest property, not on unincorporated Rout County property.
It was on my property, hell.
All right, Mo, do you feel like, Mo and Kendra, you guys feel like you've got a plan here for tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got it added to the agenda for 10:45 tomorrow. So as soon as I get the forms, I'll add them in.
Perfect.
But we only have about 10 minutes to squeeze in before the abatements.
Chris, do you want Middledorf?
You can just suspend the abatements, Kendra. We don't need to worry about that.
Chris Middledorf, do you feel like we've provided the direction that works for you at CPW on your shooting range?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Corrigan. I appreciate your recommendations. I want to make sure that we're aligned with the county. So if you feel that it needs to close down, that we have a conversation as early as possible, and then we'll make that move to close it down. Obviously, we are still independent of the county, but as a danger gets worse. And then also with the Hayden Fire Chief, you know, there's concerns about response time. You know, we don't have water out there. So just let me know what you're thinking, and we'll try to align. Thank you for your time today, Commissioners. I much appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. And it sure is nice to hear from a state agency that wants to consult and collaborate with the county anytime they can. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've completed this discussion for today. We do have about 15 minutes before our planning item. What's the pleasure of the commissioners? You want to take a break, or do you want to stay here, or what do you want to do?
So just real quickly, so Linnea, you're on the phone here too. So I sent an email out this morning on that planning item coming up. I hope somebody's going to be able to respond to that while we talk about it. So
Commissioner, I did see your email, and I asked Kendra to send me the packet, and just a brief search while I'm trying to multitask here, I did not see a conservation easement on file, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Okay.
Well, Do you know if it was under a different name?
Well, it was originally under the property is the property, so it's the same one. I know it's the same property. So it was originally under Doug Scott was the owner when it started the process. And then,
by the way, I just received an email from the Forest Service talking about they are going to go into stage 2 fire restrictions tomorrow. And I'm not sure it was sent to Cheryl and me and Tara Humph and two other people from the Forest Service. So I will forward that email to the BCC and Eric and Mo right now.
So Eric had wanted to speak, so.
I'm glad Commissioner Corrigan took us off that subject and back to fire ban, because that's what I was going to ask to do. And since Mo's still on, all of that, what I read to you about Ordinance 99-1, it's the same in the newer ordinance, which I did find, but it's the same verbiage. So I'm not asking to change the plan. I just want to make sure that you know that ordinance exists, and it's we're still in conformance with it.
Great. So we're going to be back on here. We're starting at 11 with the planning item.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm just going to stay hooked up and mute my screen, and we'll just come back together at 11 o'clock.
Yep. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you.
Kendra?
Yes.
I see that Christy is needs to be promoted, and Walter McGill as well, I believe. And Alan probably needs to be promoted. And looks like there's a John V with his hand raised. Does he need to be promoted, Christy? Yep.
Okay. Sorry, I was helping Linnea do a little research into that item Doug had mentioned.
Oh, no, that's fine. So, it looks like we have, well, we should probably wait for Doug and Beth to appear.
And I'm here.
Beth, there they are. So, Christy, I think we're ready to move forward and have a discussion with of this planning item.
Sure. Alan's going to take this item.
Good morning. Go ahead, Alan.
Morning, everybody. So this is just a review of a 35-acre subdivision for basically to make sure that the access to the proposed lots is adequate and meets the standards of the fire department. And so I'm going to share my screen real quick. This is the vicinity map of the current parcel. And so this red outline actually contains two separate parcels. One is a 75 acre parcel. The other one is a 700 acre parcel. And the 700 acre parcel does have portions of it that are under conservation easement that was partially funded by the county. But the area that the three proposed lots are in, which is this eastern section, none of that land is under conservation easement. And so leading up to the Planning Commission hearing, Road and Bridge or Public Works and the fire department went out and took a look at the road that was constructed on the applicant's property. So in this eastern portion of the property, and they determined that the road was built to the 22 foot width requirement, which is the standard for the fire department. But the week of the Planning Commission hearing, the landowner that lives in this house right here called and asked about the section of road in between County Road 14 and the subject property. And the applicant looked into it, and the road is only 18 feet wide. So an additional 4 feet will have to be added to that road to bring it up to standard. That was something that was missed by the fire department when they were doing their review and their inspection of the road. So there are some conditions of approval in this item that would address the requirement to widen that road and to make it in compliance with the road review and road construction permit and standards found in the zoning and subdivision regulations. So before you today would be basically two motions. One, the first to approve the road review exempt subdivision. And again, we're only looking at the roads. We're not evaluating the subdivision because all of the lots are 35 acres and not subject to county subdivision review. And then the second item would be authorization of the chair's signature on the plat for those three lots, and then authorization of the chair's signature on the agreement to ensure that that access road is widened to the appropriate standard and have it so that they would be able to get building permits. So that's all I have right now. I certainly here for questions or additional information if needed.
We also got your email, Doug. Thanks for the heads up for us to look into the conservation easements. And we were able to confirm that those easements are not on this subject lot. Alan, you might be able to point to where they are. I don't know if they're even close in the vicinity on this map to show, but we were able to confirm that the easements don't impact the subject parcel.
Yeah, so I'm gonna pull up the, so this is the proposed plat. And so all of these three lots are in that eastern portion of the property, and the conservation easements are over here in the western portion of the property. So conservation easements are over here, and this eastern portion right here is where the three lots are proposed. So they don't affect each other.
No, that's all good, guys. I appreciate it, Christy and Alan. I just wanted to, because I knew that we went through this process on this property. I didn't know what's in, what's out, and wanted to make sure our process included the review of the conservation easements that have been included in there as well. So I'm all good with it. I just wanted to, I just raised my red flag warning here just to make sure that we saw something that our processes were working as well and seeing those things. So I'm all good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for pointing that out, Doug.
I'm a little bit confused, Alan. You're talking about conditions of approval that will require the applicant to improve the road, yet I'm looking at notes from our road and bridge department and from the fire district stating that the road is fine as is. What am I missing?
Those notes were a review of the road on the subject property. So basically there's a road, the road accesses off of 14, comes up through, I think it's Emerald Meadows subdivision or Emerald Ridge subdivision, one of those, and then gets onto the subject property. So those comments relate to the road that is on the applicant's property. It does not, those notes were provided prior to us realizing that the section in between County Road 14 and the subject property also needs to meet the standards. And that was not reviewed by Public Works or the fire department at that time. So that's the discrepancy between those comments and the comments I made today.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions for staff? All right.
I'm just curious about the really bizarre shape of these lots. I mean, I know that obviously if it's 35 acres, we don't review it, but can people really draw lots in any configuration they want?
Oh, you should take a look at Storm Mountain Ranch and see how those lots are drawn. That if you want to think about something bizarre.
Okay.
That's a good example. CBP Ranch also.
Yeah.
So short answer is yes, people can do whatever they want.
Yes, okay. It's probably not best practice. And when it goes through our subdivision review, we can comment on that. And that's part of the review. But when it's 35 acre, we don't have that authority.
But I guess the only reason it brought up the question for me is because we've had those ones where there was a question about whether it was actually 35 acres because the road, a county road was running through the middle of it. I mean, how would we catch things like that? Or we just wouldn't.
How would we catch things like what?
Like, where was it? What are those ones that I'm talking about? Johnson
Ranch in County Road 59.
We just don't? Is that kind of the answer?
Well, Beth, I think the question there was whether or not the county owned that property, or
whether that road property
could actually be considered part of each lot. I think in this particular case, this is not a county road. The property is clearly owned.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff? And I guess my next item would be, would the proponents care to make any comment on this?
So I think you got Walter and John Vanderblumen both that were on that represented at the Planning Commission hearing.
Walter? John?
Yes.
Any comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, John. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you. This, for the record, this is John Vanderblumen. And just to clarify for Doug's question about the conservation easements, this property that was once the Lufkin Ranch, now owned by Reed, in between Lufkin and Reed, Don Lufkin conveyed this, you may recall, Doug, or maybe others as well, to his nephew Doug Scott, and Doug imposed those conservation easements back in 2010-2012. There were three separate conservation easements that Colorado, the Ag Land Trust holds conservation easements on 490 acres of the ranch, which is a total of 780 acres. So there's 290 acres of this ranch that are not burdened by conservation easement. And the 105 acres that Mr. Reed had Walter utilized to create the 335-acre parcels, the building sites, are back to the east, where the lots are obviously more logical in configuration, Commissioner Melton. And then to create the 35 acres, they extend out, it looks like, since I grew up in North Carolina, it looks like a congressional district in North Carolina. but what can I say? So the Reed's plan was to create these lots, not for development purposes necessarily, but rather for a home for their ranch manager, a home for their son, and a barn that would have the potential to have a building permit in it. Obviously, those aren't restrictions, but that's the current family plan. There is existing a ranch manager house on lot two. If you look at the configuration, it was built under building permit and has been CO'd and is occupied. The plan then was how do we maybe create a couple more spots there? We met with Christy Windsor last year, Walter and I did, to try to figure out how do we go about this, because these road review subdivisions, I don't think you see a lot of them, but we feel we've followed all the rules. And then kind of out of left field, we were notified that section that goes up into the property is only 18 feet. So we're addressing that. And I guess that's pretty much all I have, but I'm glad to answer questions.
Any questions for John or Walter? I see that Walter's available here.
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions either. And again, I just pictured the property and I pictured the conservation easement, and that's been a few years ago, so my memory wasn't quite clear as to how much of the property we put on the conservation easement, and this is totally valid. And Beth, yeah, the flagpole lots, they happen sometimes, yeah, especially when just, you know, and again, I it's all right, it's part of the process, so it's all good.
So as John mentioned, I'm struggling to recall reviewing one of these since I've been a commissioner. And I guess my question for Doug is, should we entertain public comment on a road review subdivision?
I guess you could, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. So
okay.
I don't know that there's anything to comment on. In fact, I'm really surprised that this is, I mean, and thank you, John and Walter and Mr. Reed, for going through this process, but I didn't realize there was this much process for a 35 acre subdivision as well. So, and I'm, you know, it's whatever.
So if there are no further questions for the applicants, for the applicant or the staff, and I'm not seeing any, then I would take this opportunity to open this up for public comment. Looking at the list of our participants, I don't believe there's anybody here for public comment, but if so, please raise your hand in the raise hand function on Zoom. Or, and I think everybody's attached via Zoom, so we don't need to talk about how to provide public comment via the telephone call-in. I am not seeing anybody raise their hand, so I will go ahead and close public comment and return to the commissioners either for roundtable or possibly just a couple of motions.
I don't have any comments. It seems straightforward enough.
I'm ready to make a motion, Mr. Chair. So are you
ready? Please go ahead.
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, regarding Reed Sanctuary Ranch, PL20-111, I move that we approve the road review exempt subdivision with the findings of fact. The proposal with the following condition meets the applicable guidelines of the Rock County Zoning and Subdivision Regulations. Finding two, this review is strictly to ensure that all lots related to the subdivision have legal and adequate access. Finding three, the road serving the lots on the subject property has been constructed in accordance with the submitted plans. Additional plans for the section of road not on the applicant's property have been submitted. Approval subject to the following conditions. A plat for the subdivision exemption shall be finalized and recorded within 6 months of the Board of County Commissioners' approval. Extensions of up to 1 year may be approved administratively. Condition two, if the applicant wishes to obtain a building permit for any of the lots prior to the completion of the road, the applicant shall enter into an agreement in compliance with section 5.8 of zoning regulations, including the required security. Such agreement shall be recorded concurrently with the final plat. And condition three, a road construction permit shall be obtained for the stretch of road that must be improved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, I move to authorize you to sign the final plat and development agreement following final approval of the county attorney.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much, Walter, John, and planning staff.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
All right, have a good week.
All right, our next item is our daily work session, which isn't supposed to start until 11:45. What's your pleasure, commissioners? You wanna just take a time out and come back at 11:45?
That's probably fine. I can't imagine we have a lot that we need to discuss, and we probably shouldn't do our item after that until the scheduled time, so.
That's correct. Doug, you good with that?
Yep, that sounds good.
All right, we'll just stay connected on this Zoom conference we have going right now and just come back at 11:45. Thank you. All righty. Looks like we're all back. What do I want to do for the next 13 minutes?
I have two things I wanted to ask about.
Please.
So I just was noticing that, you know, the CCI legislative process is getting started. I wanted to make sure we know who is going to represent us there. I know, Tim, you kind of have been, but it's not officially assigned as a representative. So just wanted to make sure someone's going to be participating.
My feelings would not be hurt if someone wanted to take over that responsibility. Having said that, I'm happy to continue attending. Let's see, what have we got here? That just came.
Well, they just sent us the whole schedule. Looks like we already missed the meeting on the 7th, unless somebody went.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll need to dig into this and take a look at it all, Beth.
Okay, well, we just need to make sure that we have some representation. I mean, even if we rotate, that's fine, but we just need to make sure that somebody's going.
Yep. Well, it's a little easier to go now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did you guys go through the proposed list and the rest?
I have not
yet. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah. Well, there are some things in there that, you know, really, no.
That you have an opinion on?
Yeah, I have an opinion on, yeah. So, and anyhow, again, you guys got copied on the email from that I sent to Lane about the interest property tax. So I don't know where that's getting drummed up to, but, yeah, so we'll have to figure out, you know, some constraints there or whatever.
Keep it on. You would think that the legislature would just kind of take a break this year and kind of just focus on budget and COVID-19 and let the rest of it go for a bit, huh?
Well, we'll see what happens, but these are just county's ideas of what needs to happen, right?
Yep.
It looks like the Western District meeting is this Friday, and it overlaps with our meeting. And I also have that Governor's Commission on Community Service that I'm on meets this Friday. So I'm wondering what we already have on the agenda and if we need to cancel our BCC meeting for Friday.
Kendra, what have we got on the agenda for Friday?
I am looking. Give me just a second.
I mean, I know we have updates from Mo on Fridays, but I assume that could be rescheduled.
So it looks like we do have an update scheduled for updates and budgeting for the Yampa Valley Sustainability Council with Scott Common and Mel Stewart. And that's scheduled for a half hour on Friday. And then we also had the budget review update from accounting was going to happen on Friday also.
But the budget review update? How much time had you scheduled for that?
That was from 10:30 to 11:30 on Friday.
So I need to go to this other meeting on Friday. So if someone's going to go to the Western District meeting, I think we're going to have to reschedule those things.
Yes.
Otherwise, there won't be anybody here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important that we attend that one of us at least attend the Western District meeting. And I was planning on attending. And Doug, you usually do too.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I would if I didn't have this other thing, since you guys are going to be there. So it sounds like, Kendra, we need to see what we can do about rescheduling those things.
Okay, we'll do.
I don't know if any of them will squeeze in on Thursday or if we just need to push them to next week. But
we did have a little bit of time open up on Thursday. We had an hour and a half set aside for the CBOE, but it looks like now we only need a half hour. We might be able to.
Bummer.
Yeah. Send some in there.
Great.
Well, yeah, that'd be great if you could get that squeezed in on Thursday. Even if we had to run a little bit long. Let me look.
So I got an Upper Yampa meeting starting at noon that day. So
okay.
Whatever the morning brings us. So yeah, I think on Friday, Tim and I'll definitely have the CCI meeting as well. So
yeah, and I'll take a look at that stuff and send you any comments I have. I mean, that's not when we're voting anyway. It's just for discussion.
But they are going to bring it up. All of those proposed legislative agenda items, and so they'll have.
I'll send you any thoughts.
Yeah, first blush look at them for sure during the meetings.
Great. And then the only other thing is I wanted to update you guys on the Protect Our Neighbors planning. So Mo and Roberta and I met on Friday and had some conversation. And Mo had done a great job kind of putting together some thoughts about how we should proceed. And I think definitely he feels like a project manager is going to be really important, because otherwise we're going to need Roberta to try to do it. But in looking at it, I think most of what's on that list can probably be completed by staff once we finish hiring for the public health department. And the biggest thing is someone just keeping it all together and keeping things moving. So Mo is proceeding with Julie on figuring out that piece. He thought she probably already has some vendors and it's below the threshold. So he thinks we can do a sole source and just move forward with it. We do have to spend that money within 90 days of when it was awarded. So we need to move pretty quickly on that. And then you have to complete that planning process before you can apply for any of the infrastructure funding. And then the infrastructure funding has to be spent by the end of the year. So if we think there's a use for that, we want to be ready to request it. So, and I did, as you guys requested, take a look at the infrastructure grant. Honestly, it's pretty wide open and it doesn't look that different from what the planning grant says. The name infrastructure made me think it might need to be capital type items, but it really doesn't. It can include money for education and community engagement efforts, and it can include money for, I forget the wording they used, but essentially enhanced, you know, disease mitigation and control measures. So, you know, contact tracing, testing, those kinds of things. So one of the deliverables that Mo was going to let Julie know about is really a plan for what we might request that infrastructure grant money for, which, as a reminder, it's up to $150,000, although it does require a local match, but that local match can come from the CARES Act money. So, so even though it's all CARES Act money, it's sort of a weird, it's a weird thing. Yeah. And I still think it begs the question of why they couldn't just write us a check for $200,000, but that's not what happened. So we are just proceeding with that. But I do think that the planning activities are good and are important. And I was excited for us to look through that and realize that actually most of it can probably be completed by staff. And a lot of it is really in progress, and this money can be used to cover staff time for working on those. I think our epi will be able to do a lot of it, our epidemiologist, especially with the 1.5, you know, having those two people. And then the immunization plan, I think Roberta will probably take on. The only place, and then if we go forward with the health educator position, that person would probably be well suited to do the community partnership engagement. And if we don't go forward with that, then I think we take a look at whether existing staff could work on it, or if we do it a different way. But it is the plan to proceed with looking at a project manager. Mo did a great job, I think, spending some time laying that out.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I agree that the work that Mo does is really appreciated. His attention to detail, and just kind of some straightforward logical thinking that he applies to the problems at hand. And number two, I think I'm pretty sure what we're hearing you say is that we do need to engage with an outside consultant because we don't really have the individual on staff to guide this process, but that consulting contract would be significantly less than the $50,000.
Yeah, I would think so. And Mo had, there are people that just do this, you know, that are certified project managers. I think the main thing is, given the nature of the work, he would really like, if possible, to find someone who both is a certified project manager and has some background and expertise in health, at least so they understand kind of what it is we're trying to accomplish here without too much effort. So like I said, Mo had brought that to Julie with the requirements and was asking her to take a look through her vendor list and see if there's someone that would meet the requirements so we can move forward. I don't know exactly what I sort of said, I think less than $25,000, you know, maybe half of that money. But again, we need to sort of understand, get a proposal from someone on how many hours they think this would take and that kind of thing.
Especially when we're committing our staff to be help fill in the holes there.
Yeah, and it's mostly the public health staff. I mean, I think if we weren't hiring additional public health staff right now, we wouldn't have the people to do this work. We would need some outside folks. But I think given that we are bringing those folks on, and like I said, a lot of it they're already going to need to do in order for us to finish, you know, building our system out to be ready to respond to the remainder of this emergency. So that's the update there, and we'll see what Julie is able to come back with.
Yeah, aside from questions about the infrastructure grant and everything else, this actually feels like this $50,000 planning grant actually makes some sense. It's actually something that really will be helpful to us. It's not just throwing money at a problem. It seems like there could be some really good deliverables coming out of this.
I think they did it's still a little wonky, but I think they did the right thing in structuring it that way, because it's stuff that we should have done, but it really puts a structure around it and prompts it to get done, which is the goal. So those are my only, those are the only things I have.
Ye of little faith here, but by the way, that was supposed to have been our money anyhow. So, hey, you know, we'll run through the system, run through the dishwasher, and we'll be good.
Once we get to the dishwasher, hopefully we'll be clean, right?
There you go.
I don't know. I've read some recent studies on what happens inside of dishwashers, and I've taken to washing my dishes by hand after reading that stuff. But oh well. Mark, do you have anything for us before we move on to our discussion of county manager finalists? You're muted, Mark.
Hit it once. Hit it again. I'm happy to reach out to Greg Winkler with DOLA in terms of whether they've got some anybody in mind that has been assisting with Protect Our Neighbors grants, planning grants, Beth. There may be a cadre of people out there right now that have been doing some of this that have some of that experience and background. So I'm writing a note to Greg and just say, hey, any input or feedback on that, we'd appreciate getting that information.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's in Julie's court right now. So if you get any leads, probably send those Julie's way.
Yeah, and it's not like this maybe needed to be done in Route County. We'd like to help our local people as well. But at the same point in time, if somebody brought some expertise that was outside, and I'll use the consultant term frame, but anyhow, we're good. Whatever.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just that all that money has to be spent in 90 days. So we got to move pretty fast here to get someone on board, and they need to be ready to just dive in and implement the deliverables that we've laid out. So yes, if there are people geared up and ready to go, let's get those names to Julie for sure.
Robin, you have that look about you as if you have something to add to the conversation.
Yeah, just looking for scheduling. I was going to make a request for Friday, but Friday is not out, is out now. So the public survey ends on Wednesday, and I wanted to give you a presentation on that. It seems like your Thursday schedule is already pretty booked. So I'm just wondering, maybe, I don't know if there's time on Tuesday the 25th. I know Wednesdays are always crazy. So just putting a thought there.
You need 30 minutes?
Yeah.
So, Kendra knows where, when there's time. We don't know. We're not the ones to ask.
I know. I just wanted to alert you guys. So just, I want, you know, since we're closing it and I wanted to try to get it out to the public by September 1st, but you know, if it's too crazy, we can delay it another week. It's not a problem.
So since I'm trying to move some of those items from Friday around, I'm guessing Monday and Tuesday are going to be pretty full unless the commissioners wanted to go later on Tuesday, we could do 12.
I'm happy to go earlier or later. It really doesn't make too much difference to me.
And then I think,
say Kendra, which day you want us to go?
Tuesday the 25th, if you guys wanted to go later than noon. Or if you only need a half hour, we could go after the Board of Health meeting on Wednesday.
I cannot go after the Board of Health meeting on Wednesday, but
the Wednesdays are a bad day for, I'm usually typing furiously.
So. Tuesday the 25th, I have a 12 p.m. commitment with the Housing Authority.
So what about, so what I would just say, we don't have to discuss it all now, but Kendra, perhaps the week of the 31st.
Okay.
Oh, so we'll just figure out a time then. Okay. Sorry to take your time, commissioners.
No, that's quite all right. Got a lot to do. Let's get it done. Speaking of which, are we ready to move on to the discussion of county manager finalists? So Doug and Beth, I provided to you a listing of our candidates by numbers. And the reason that they're identified by number is that out of respect for the confidentiality of any of the individuals that do not get selected as a finalist, we need to maintain that confidentiality and discuss these candidates by number. Do you have that with you?
Yeah, but I don't know how much, what do we need to discuss here? I'm a little confused.
What do you want us to discuss other than who we want to move forward in the process?
Yeah, maybe I'll just take this opportunity to provide a quick overview for the record.
That would be good, yep.
We hired SGR and Larry Gilley to do a recruitment effort for us. They went out and received a large number of applications. They brought that large number of applications to us some weeks ago, and we worked together to narrow that down to a list of, my recollection is, approximately 13 or 14 individuals that we wanted to move forward to consider as semifinalists. We spent some time with Larry Gilley. We narrowed that list down to a list of 5 semifinalists. Last week, we went into executive session to review the 5 semifinalists, take a second look at their resumes. Oh, I apologize, I need to back up. Prior to that, we did conduct Zoom interviews in executive session with the 5 semifinalists. And then after that, late last week, we met in executive session to discuss the relative merits of the 5 semifinalists. And our work today is simply to determine which of those 5 semifinalists we would like to move forward as finalists, at which time those names would become public knowledge and would start the clock ticking on the 14-day timeframe before we can declare a selection of who we want to be our county manager. So I think we did a good job in executive session of considering the relative merits of the five semifinalists. And I guess I would look, if there isn't any other discussion that you folks feel is necessary, I would look to one of you to make a motion recommending who we would advance as finalists. And I'm not sure if this actually requires a motion and a vote, but I probably no reason not to do it that way. Eric?
I think there's no reason not to.
Eric, do you have a comment on that? Apparently not. Looks like he's busy on the phone. I don't really think we need legal advice on that. I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah, I think I, you know, and thanks, Tim, for your overview. And again, SGR has done a good job for us to assist us through this process. We had a well-vetted process, and we created a overview of the position, advertised that through SGR, both in some of the clientele that they had. We also advertised through Colorado County Managers Association, as well as the ICMA, International County City County Managers Association. And we had a very fruitful response to the advertisement. Again, we went through we would probably agree that COVID did affect maybe some of the quantity of responses that we got to the job site because of the unpredictability of society right now. And we kind of felt, and then Larry Gilley with SGR also commented that we might have gotten more quantity of applications if it hadn't been in the middle of COVID. So, but anyhow, we ended up having the number that we had with 240. We reduced that, as Tim said, down to some manageable numbers based on their expertise and their following and their resumes as well. And then we ended up selecting, as Tim said, 12, 13, and then came up with five that we wanted to have Zoom interviews with. And we had conducted those Zoom interviews last week and came up with, I'm perfectly comfortable with the two that I had picked out as number one and two that we want to have as finalists. So I'm comfortable with moving forward and naming those finalists and then following through with our statutory responsibility, the 14-day notice, and then moving forward. And I guess the other thing, we're planning on having some department head meetings. We discussed that during executive session as well, but it didn't need to be executive session. We're talking about having some meetings with the department heads, can get to know that, or get to informed a little bit about the two finalists, as well as the community maybe getting an opportunity, a Zoom meeting, to get to know the two finalists as well. So I'm very comfortable in naming the two finalists that I prefer, and we move from there.
I feel like we had good discussion and we had some general agreement. So do you want a motion with names or just with the numbers that you had identified, Tim?
I think it should be done with the numbers in case there's some disagreement. And we would have to go back into further discussion to identify a list of finalists.
Okay.
So until we've actually voted on the numbers that are associated with the individuals, I still think to preserve the confidentiality of anybody that does not turn out to be a finalist, that we should stick with the numbers.
Okay,
And I would also say, and I don't know how you guys, well, let's go ahead and see what you guys want to do. in terms of a motion and see how that goes. I think before we actually reveal the names of the finalists, that we need to have just one quick discussion. But we can't really have that discussion until we know who the finalists are.
Do you want to do it, Doug, or I'm ready if you want me to?
Actually, before you make the, well, go ahead and make the motion. I still have a comment to make, but I can do that after we have a motion and a second.
Okay. Should we drag it out or I'm just.
No, let's not drag it out.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to advance candidates number 3 and 4 from the list that you provided to us this morning as finalists for the position of Route County Manager.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I just have a couple of comments to make. Number one, I'd like to reflect a lot of what Commissioner Monger said about the process. I think in the beginning that we may have had some concerns about the total number of candidates and what all their backgrounds were, but I'm persuaded that we had a number of these individuals that I think could be very fine county managers for Route County. There's a part of me that, while I don't disagree with the motion that was made by Commissioner Melton, there was a part of me that wanted to advance potentially a third candidate, but I'm persuaded that the two candidates that Commissioner Melton has made a motion to move forward were at a level above the rest of the candidates that really justify a small list of 2 finalists. Is there any other discussion?
Hey, the good thing is it's not one finalist, you know, so.
Yeah. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right, now that we, the three of us know who the 2 finalists are, I did receive an email from Larry Gilley that one of these 2 individuals, if they were announced as a finalist, were hopeful that we would not reveal those names until tomorrow. And so that they had an opportunity. Apparently, one of these individuals was on vacation and at least wanted the opportunity through the end of the day today to inform his current employers of his status. Do we see that as a problem?
I don't think that anybody is sitting and watching this. I mean, Robin's going to put out a press release and no one's going to have the information really until she puts that press release out. I mean, I don't have a strong feeling about it, but I can't imagine that his employers are sitting watching this and are going to find out the second we say the names.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. So that I think we ought to move on. Yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of told them we were going to do that, you know, and we actually waited, you know, through and had it on the agenda to, you know, to do that, you know, the right way, and so not waiting.
People also said it wasn't really a big deal either way.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, very good. Then would you guys like me to go ahead and just state the names of our 2 finalists now?
Yes.
Yeah, so, the two second bio maybe too might be good.
Yeah, I might struggle with the bio, at least a brief one. In any case, I don't have the information in front of me right now, but our 2 finalists are Joe Kirby and Paul Featherston.
We can probably just get some bio information to Robin to include in the press release.
Yeah, and Robin, I believe you've had the opportunity to get with Larry on some of that information.
Yeah, he said he would send me information once the two were decided. So I'll get in touch with them and I'll put that in the press release.
Okay. I think that's probably good enough for today. I'd like to thank my fellow commissioners for the hard work that they put in on this. I think it's super hard work, I find, trying to select the next CEO of this organization. And I feel like we worked really hard, and I feel like we've done a good job. And hopefully at the end of this, we'll have a permanent county manager that will be with us for some time to come.
I was just thinking over the weekend, we should put information out to our staff. I think most of the information they need will be in the press release, but they probably would like the information about the fact that there's going to be a meet and greet with the department, or a Q&A session with the department heads, and kind of what the timeline is. There might be just a few other details that would be more important for our staff than for the general public.
If I could add, though, for the general public, is I don't know what the process is of, you have that 14-day statutory rule, but I'm assuming that person has to give notice and that it takes time for onboarding. So is there a idea of when that person would start, or we just don't know?
Not yet.
Okay.
We probably know earlier than October, but other than that, we don't know, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I'd like to take this opportunity to point out how well our interim county manager has served us, and his service to the county also gives us some latitude as to when the new permanent county manager would go to work. Mark has indicated a willingness to stay as long as necessary until that onboarding process can take place. And Mark, I think speaking for both of my fellow commissioners, we really appreciate the work you've done, and we really appreciate your willingness to do what's best for the county while we go through this process. So,
to my point, is that memo to staff Robin's responsibility, Mark's responsibility, our responsibility? Who needs to make sure that happens before they read about it in the newspaper? I don't think they like that any more than we do, understandably.
I think Mark and Robin can work together to prepare that memo. Mark has a pretty good grasp on what we are looking for in terms of the stakeholder meeting and the department director meeting and the individuals that will be facilitating that. We know we have an open question as to who the individual will be that will conduct the community stakeholder meeting. And also, I think Mark will need to work with us and with others to develop a list of who those stakeholders are, who should be invited to the stakeholder meeting. So I think we have a few details to hash out. I kind of feel like Mark and Robin working together can probably take care of 95% of it, and they may need 5% more input from us early next week.
Yeah, I'm good with all that. And again, I think we need an immediacy of probably having, you know, something go out to our staff. I mean, so
right.
I think that can happen. And I think that message needs to come from us and not Robin and Mark. So I don't know whether you want to send, you know, Mr. Chairman, you want to send just an email to all Route County employees, all Route County users, you know, that we have selected, and let them do their own research. You know, they can pull them up on, you know, Google search or whatever. And, you know, they were selected Joe Kirby and Paul Featherston, and get the names in there. And then, you know, and I think that's going to be sufficient.
Okay. Well, I think they're going to have the same questions that Robin's asking about timeline and who are these people. I mean, yes, they can Google it, but I would maybe suggest, I think you're right, it should come from Tim, but it probably should have the press release attached with some more details as well that our staff need. I mean, sooner than, it needs to go out today, but.
Yeah, and we all agreed on, I mean, we all are kind of feeling, you know, we're going to facilitate this as quickly as possible, but yet Mark has done a great job. And, you know, so there's loose ends that need to be tied up, and no matter who we hire, and when we hire somebody, they're going to have to go, you know, through their notification and contract negotiation as well. So we, you know, I think we need to make it quite clear. We right now, we don't know what the time frame is. So,
Robin, do you feel like you have enough information to draft that email that I would send to all employees? And then
I can draft something, no problem. And I'll just run it by Mark. You know, I mean, we're used to being, you know, I don't think we ever thought that the email would come from us, but we'll draft something for you and then draft the press release. And in the meantime, I'll also get bios from Larry Gillies. So try to get that as soon as possible for you.
So I'll be around all day, maybe by the end of the day today, by 4 o'clock or so.
Oh yeah, no problem.
We'd have something that, and make sure you run it by Doug and Beth for their comments.
Of course.
And then I'll send it out late this afternoon.
Sounds great. Yeah, great. Mark and I will work together and get something to you as soon as possible.
Wonderful. It's nice to have competent staff helping us. Thank you very much. Is there anything else we need to discuss today? Doug?
Nope.
Mark? Okay. Great. We will see you tomorrow morning. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.